If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19. Tonight I just want to chat, or if there's a title they want to take down, I want to just start on looking at overcoming life's disappointments. Because disappointments can actually rob us of some amazing blessing that God's got for us. And we need to be careful about disappointments and how they settle into our hearts and how they affect our lives. But I want to just start off by looking at Elijah, because Elijah's often all held up as a mighty man of God. And yes, he was. And it's, you know, an amazing story that we're stepping into. So as far as I'm aware, he's done all the whole Mount Carmel situation. 450 prophets and 400 other people have been killed. And he's kind of on a high. You know, when things are really going well for you and you've just had a great victory, and you'd think that Elijah would be right there. But as we jump into chapter 19, it says this, verse 1. Now, Ahab told Jezebel, that's his wife, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me even more severely if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them. In other words, she said, I'm going to kill you. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Then he came to Beersheba in Judah, and he left his servant there while he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he says. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And this guy's just had probably one of the biggest miracles described in the Bible. And straight after it, it's kind of, some people say he's depressed. Some people say, you know, he could have been this. But let's face it, he was disappointed. I don't know if Elijah thought or felt that when God showed up in awesome power, he killed all the false prophets, that the nation would turn back to God. He had this expectation as a prophet of God that, you know, if God moves, then people are going to respond and they're going to turn back. And yes, some did, but not many. But the queen said, look, mate, I'm going to kill you, Yorkshire version. And something came over him that made him run. Something came over him that made him flee and think, it's better that I just die. And this guy was seriously depressed. We've always got to be careful of when we hit the highs, and then we've got to be careful about the lows, because the extremes can be unsettling for many people. People that are often adrenaline junkies, I'm told adrenaline actually kills serotonin in your brain. So people are always geared up, ready to do something, that they have very little serotonin, kills it. And they live on, in a sense, on this idea of always wanting to do something to push themselves. And Elijah had done an amazing thing before God. He'd stood there and fire had come down. He'd had a great time. The rains had come. It started raining now. And he'd run those miles faster than a chariot. And at the end of it all, this woman says to him, a well-decorated lady, by the way. She was always painted up, it seems. Nobody calls the kids Jezebel, do they? I mean, you just got to think about that, haven't you? Oh, yeah, but for that thing. But he was ready to go for it in God, and something happened. She said to him, in fact, she didn't say it. She sent a message. She didn't even turn up herself. And says, you're going to die tomorrow. I'm going to kill you. And he were off, running for his life. Disappointment came upon him. You could almost say that Elijah had a spirit of disappointment. When I say spirit of disappointment, I'm not talking about a demonic spirit. But sometimes some people have a spirit upon them, we call it. Some people are just naturally happy because they've got a spirit of happiness on them. Some people are just gloomy, the spirit of depression's on them. You need to be careful what you pronounce to other people. But Elijah had a spirit of disappointment. And when I talk about disappointment, for our own lives, we need to be careful as well, because disappointment, and I wrote this down, somebody said this, it's disappointment is a long-term pain of unfulfilled expectations. Disappointment is a long-term pain of unfilled expectations. Often we have expectations of what's going to happen. You often dream about what might be and what could be. If you've got kids, you've got expectations and wishes and hopes and dreams of what they will grow up to be. And in your own life, you think, you look back on your own life, and might have been times in your life where you've fought forwards and gone, in 10 years' time, I want to be doing this and gone there. And yet sometimes life can be a series of disappointments. But how we handle those disappointments will shape how we go with God. You see, in my own life, I've often said, you know, I've often been... I've often had disappointments in my own life, but that's natural, it seems. Everybody has. But a disappointment is if, for example, I arrange to meet you somewhere. We say, let's go to Costa or let's go to Starbucks. And we arrange an appointment to meet there at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And you turn up, but I don't. I've missed the appointment, but it creates disappointment in you. That maybe I couldn't be bothered. Maybe something's happened. And a one-off's not a problem. Somebody don't turn up is not a problem. But when sometimes it becomes an habit where people don't show, then disappointment can come, especially when you try to reach out. Joe and I often talk about one-way traffic in our friendships. It seems sometimes, and you might have them in your own life, there are certain people where the traffic is always one way. If you're not reaching out to them, they never respond to you. There are some people that will ring you almost weekly to see how you're getting on. Yet there'll be others, unless you ring them, unless you text them or Facebook them, they'll never respond to you. I've got a friend, whenever I see them, they're always saying, we need to meet up. And I've said to them now, do you really mean that? Oh, yeah, I do. I said, because I keep trying, but you don't show up. And I've got to a point where I've got slightly disappointed with them. So now I'm saying, do you mean it? There's a famous evangelist who goes up and down our country, and every time I see him, he says, Johnny, how are you doing? Let's meet up for a coffee. And I say, let's put it in the diary. And he'll go, I ain't got it with me, or I'll get in touch with you, which means he's never gonna. So now I just go, yeah, whatever. Because disappointments come in. And I've got to be careful, I've got to guard my heart, and you've got to guard your heart to stop disappointment hardening the soil of your heart, letting it become like a path, that seed of God, the word of God, doesn't settle in. Disappointment means to have missed appointments in our life. You see, there's an expectation when you go to the doctors that they're usually 20 minutes late. It is interesting, they're always 20 minutes late, but if you turn up 2 minutes late, they tell you you've missed your appointment. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I often say to them, this is unacceptable after 20 minutes. In fact, once I went to the doctors and I'd been sat there nearly 40 minutes and I said to the person behind the desk, what's going on? I'm the first appointment of the day. They said, the doctor's been called out on an emergency. He'll be here when he can be. I said, okay. Then the doctor came and I knew him. So I says to the doctor, I goes, where you been? Did you sleep in? He said, yeah. Just slept in. So me being me, when I walked out and went to the reception, I actually says to her from a distance, don't you ever lie to me again. The doctor said he'd slept in. He was not on an emergency. So the next time I went in, she just frowned at me, and I got him pretty early. Like, get him sorted, get him gone. But we often, sometimes we expect delays, but sometimes with friends, it's a bit awkward. Have you ever had a party where you've invited people, and it seems to be becoming more and more common? I don't know why, but you invite 20 people to a party, but only 10 show up. And there can be a sense of disappointment. A friend of mine many years ago, on his 21st birthday, he hired a coach, he hired a venue, his parents brought cars because he had 60, 70 people who said they're going to come to his party. And when the coach set off 20 minutes late, there were only 32 people on that bus. And the cars stayed, they didn't need them. Because most of his friends just didn't cry. Does it matter if I don't turn up? Well, it can be a disappointment. It can be. And disappointment can settle into our hearts, and we need to be careful about this. If we allow disappointment to continue after disappointment without dealing it according to the word of God. It can harden our hearts to a point where we don't receive the things of God. I've often said, and if I track my life back, I often say my life's often been a series of, I'm always chosen second. When I wanted to do ministry and training many years ago, when I wanted to do the church training program, I was lined up to do it, but one of the guys said, no, you can't do it this year, you'll have to start it next year. It was like, we don't need you, come back next year. I actually came talking about coming to this church many years ago, and I was told by the then person in charge, we've got somebody, in fact, to use these words, we've got somebody better that will suit the church. So I was second again. It seems throughout most of my life, I've often been second, and I could allow that to become a problem. But then I do remember that Reinhard Bonnke wasn't God's first choice for Africa, and that kind of gives me courage, and there's other people who weren't God's first choice. And maybe I might not have been God's first choice for this place, but I'm here now. You see, one of the problems with disappointment is we can just let it put deep roots down and we need to deal with it. And if I says, let's show hands, probably every one of us in this room would put his hands up saying we've got disappointments in life. I was called by God at the age of, 18, 19, 20, to go into ministry. I knew exactly where I'd be, what I'd be doing within certain parameters. And I thought at the age of 20, by 30, I'll be doing exactly what God's got called for me. But 30 came and went. But what came was disappointment. Because I thought, this is it. And then I thought, by 40, it'll all be. But it wasn't to be. Maybe by 50, who knows? Proverbs 13, verse 12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If we're not careful, hope that's deferred too long will actually make the heart sick. The word sick there is actually talking about weak. It'll make it suffer, sickness, grief. It'll be pained. Disappointment can pain you, make you suffer on the inside. Nobody else can see it. Nobody's really that interested sometimes, which makes you more disappointed in the first place. The Living Translation says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true at last, they are life and joy. The sad thing is that sometimes because we live under a spirit of disappointment, we don't always see when our dreams come true because we don't expect them to come true anymore. I know some people, and we can all get into this rut if we're not careful, where we don't set any goals or ambitions because why should we? Because we'll only get disappointed. I tended to have very little expectations with people because of disappointment that comes back. I set goals, I set ideas, I bring things forward, but yet sometimes they never seem to come to pass. So disappointment settles in, so we tend to ride with mediocrity. We think it'll be okay. When really we should be setting the bars high, we should be going for it, we should be guarding our hearts against disappointment, but yet moving on through it when it happens. We don't want our hearts to be sick, weak, griefed. But if we allow a spirit of disappointment to come on, to become on us, it makes our hearts sick. And for some of us, you've been carrying the weight of disappointment for stuff for years. But in reality, you can't do anything about what was, what could have been. There's nothing we can do. You see, having a spirit of disappointment upon us will make us focus on the small things. It'll make us focus on the things that are almost irrelevant. It's interesting that sometimes, as a pastor, I talk about, let's look at this situation or circumstance in the church. And people get very defensive because they've been disappointed about something. And therefore, we guard the little bit we have, thinking this is it. If I lose this, then I've nothing. And yet, we need to remember that hopes deferred does make the heart sick. But when dreams come true, it's a tree of life, it says. We need to focus on the things that are good and not the things that are bad and small or worldly. We need to concentrate on the things that God's got for us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. And sometimes you can't see what God's doing, but when you look around you, you can get disappointed by what you see. But we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the dreams comes true, and I don't know if that'll be, when it'll be for me, for you. See, I see people disappointed all the time. I see people at the minute concerning politics. They're disappointed because a vote was taken and it's not been honoured. And many people in the country are disappointed. They're disappointed with politicians, with leaders. They think maybe they could do more, should do more. Some people are disappointed with the NHS. I'm just glad we've got an NHS. But people are some people are disappointed with the police. Some people are disappointed with the council. Some people are even disappointed with pastors, the church, Christians, friends. It can soon settle in if we're not careful. Disappointment actually equals a sick heart. And a sick heart makes us do silly things. It's a long-term pain of an unfilled expectation. Ephesians 5:15 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Next verse, taking every opportunity. The pain of an unfilled expectation, if we are not careful, actually will bind us up. And the disappointments can sometimes build up. See, it's okay having somebody disappoint you, but then after a while, it just becomes more and more. And you need to be careful. Does anybody know roughly how long the ministry expectations of an healing pastor is in our country? The life expectancy of a pastor in Ealing, in ministry, not his death, is 13 years. That includes some that come in later on, but it also includes a lot that start off in the 20s, some in the 30s. That's within Ealing. But many pastors eventually get out. Now, some do. Some mess up and have to stand down. It happens, sadly. And we get disappointed with those people. They should have done better, but they're only people like us. And yet there are many men and women who leave ministry, not just in Ealing, in AOG and the Baptists, the Methodists, all over the country and all over the world. In America, I think they reckon there's 300 pastors stand down every month. Why? Disappointment. Because the pastor has expectations. He has goals and vision. And it smacks into a wall of disappointment. And many of them just, after so long, leave the call of God in my life. I was sat in a room full of pastors and the question was asked, you know, how many of you pastors have a vision? So everybody put their hand up, whether we had or did not. You've got to say you've got a vision, haven't you? Otherwise, you do look a bit silly. Oh, I got one. But do you have a dream? Do you have a vision? And then he asked this question. He says, how many have you seen a vision through to the end of that vision? And in a room full of pastors, nobody put their hand up. All these men and women of God had great visions, great things, but not one of them. Now, I think that's okay to a point, because as you move towards your vision and you start seeing bits of it come to pass, then the vision grows and moves on anyway. It's always ahead of you. But then he asks this question, how many are disappointed? And most of them put their hand up because they hadn't fulfilled what they felt God was saying to them. But that's pastors. What about you guys? Many of you have got visions and you know, dreams for your own life within ministry, within the church, within life. And yet you can stumble over disappointment if you're not careful. Psalm 112 verse 7 says this, they have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. If we allow disappointment to take root, even the little bit of bad news can unstable us. Is that the right word? Can shake us. But those who trust in the Lord will have no fear of any bad news. Don't matter what happens, what's said. And it is easier to have no expectations of anybody than suffer the disappointment when they let you down. But God says he will never let us down, and we can always trust him. But the Bible encourages us in lots of places and very clearly that we should, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact you are doing. The opposite of disappointment is encouragement. To encourage each other, to build each other up, to strengthen them, and to say, come on, keep going, keep going. Keep be strengthened. In Ephesians 4:29, it says this, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up and is fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Speak words of life to each other, encouragement to one another. Speak words of hope into people's lives. Hebrews 10, verse 24, 25, it says, let us consider how to stir one another up in love and good works. Think about it. How can you stir each other up? How can you encourage each other? And not to neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day dawning near. Encouraging one another, strengthening one another, because we've all been there. There's always somebody that's let us down. Somebody who said they'd do something and hadn't done it, or somebody who's actually promised and it's never come to pass. Somebody who said they'll be there and are no longer there. We can live with disappointment to a point. But I think this, that if we can encourage one another, it helps us to take our eyes off our own disappointment and keep them on Jesus. And that helps us to encourage one another. Disappointment can harden our hearts towards God. And it can actually make you hard-hearted towards him. And if you're hard-hearted towards God, it can bring in a limitation what God can do in your life. One of the reasons why some people stop in ministry or stop doing anything towards God, they're happy just to sit in church for the rest of their life and just be there. Or even not bother being in church, just sit watching God TV or something like that. It's because they've got offended, they've become disappointed, and hardness of heart set in. Hebrews 3:13 says this, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. We need to be careful, not let disappointment settle in our hearts, so that we can take our stand against having a hard heart. We can garden our hearts, we can pull out the weeds, and we can turn over the soil so the word of God can settle into our hearts. That proverb again, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You can see the best in all situations. You might not see the big picture initially, but sometimes you can see the little pieces coming together. And that can put a smile on your face and you can actually think, God's at move. God's on the move, he's doing something. He's doing little bits here and there. And he's working towards an ultimate goal. And really, sometimes some of us, we have dreams and hopes, but sometimes we have expectations that are not, God never put them there. I always remember when my brother got sorted out with God, I thought the whole family would have turned, and some did. The bigger family I'm talking about. I've often thought, you know, if God raised somebody from the dead, the church will be packed. But actually, sometimes miracles only get people's curiosity working. It doesn't cause them to turn to Jesus. It's the softening of their heart through the word of God and the spirit of God that changes lives. So look for the good and see the tree of life just in your heart. Look for the best. And yes, people will disappoint you. But we're going to make sure that our hearts don't become sick, hard, callous, hurting. But we'll be just looking for what God's doing in our lives. Amen.